Well, good morning, everyone. It's Charlie here. I'm sorry I can't be with you today, but what a joy to be looking at Psalm 23 together, one of the most well-known and well-loved of Psalms. Maybe you've already prayed, but why don't we pray again? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm, and though it's very familiar to most of us, we pray that nevertheless you would speak to us through it, and that you would change our lives and enable us to appreciate more of what we have in our relationship with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me read to you Psalm 23, verse 1 to 4. And I'm going to read it in the King James version for you now, which may be familiar to some. Slightly old language, but just enjoy this familiar and beautiful piece of literature. Just the first half of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? And it's a wonderful note of sufficiency there at the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or in the NIV, as you've got in front of you, I hope, on page 555, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I wonder if you've seen the film The Bucket List with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson, two men, one rich, one poor, at the end of their lives, dying and in palliative care. And they make a list of all the things that they want to do before the end of their lives. And really, the film is about what they lack at the end of their life and what they want to do. And in a sense, the relationships that need rebuilding before their time comes. And it's quite easy for Christians to have a sort of bucket list mentality if we're not careful. We think, oh, if only I had this, or if only I had that, or if only I had that person's looks or money or brains or skills, whatever it might be, if only I had been able to have these opportunities or those opportunities. And we can adopt a kind of bucket list approach. We think, well, there's so much that I'm lacking in my life that I'd love to do before I die. But of course, Psalm 23 strikes this note of sufficiency. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. And I want to convince you afresh this morning from Psalm 23 that if you have the Lord God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your shepherd this morning, then you have absolutely everything you need for normal days, for bad days, and for eternal days. And we're going to look at those three as we work through this psalm. So first of all, if you have the Lord as your shepherd, then you lack nothing. First of all, for normal days, verse 1 to 3. Now, of course, this psalm is a psalm of David, as you can see, and he was very familiar with shepherding and sheep because, of course, he was a shepherd before he became a king. And shepherding was the kind of metaphor used from the Bible of a king as well. So he was doubly a shepherd. He knew what it was like to look after sheep. He knew what it was like to rule a people. And a shepherd was a ruler because a shepherd takes care of his flock and a king takes care of his flock. And you need a good shepherd who's going to take care of you and look after you. But here the surprising thing is that David is speaking not of himself as a shepherd, but himself as a sheep. And he's talking about how the Lord has been his shepherd, just like Genesis 48, Jacob at the end of his life speaks about how God has been a shepherd to him. It's a great picture and it's a wonderful analogy because, of course, we are sheep. We so easily wander astray, don't we, and make lots of mistakes. And what we so need and what we have in the Lord Jesus is a shepherd. And he shepherds us through normal days, and that's maybe the tone of verses 1 to 3. These are sort of happy, sunny days, where the shepherd is looking after the sheep and he's taking care of them. So verse 2, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. That's what a sheep needs, food and water. And this shepherd is an absolute star. He knows his sheep and he knows the territory. And Jesus, the good shepherd, knows how to take care of you and give you provision. He also knows how to give you restoration. Verse 3, he refreshes my soul. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. That word refreshes might even be restore or even converts my soul. It's the theme. You actually have it in Psalm 19 that we saw last week as well, that he restores our life. He refreshes the soul, Psalm 19, verse 7, because he gives back to us life. Maybe we've gone astray and we need help to be brought back onto the right path. Well, this shepherd is an absolute brilliant shepherd, and he brings provision, what the sheep need to keep them going, and he brings restoration. He refreshes and restores the sheep. And whether or not you're going away this summer, I pray that you might know a little bit of this restoration of your soul, some time out perhaps with family or friends, or even just walking by yourself down on the Riverside Park here in Huntingdon by the still waters of the River Great Ouse. I've often found that the times when the Lord has restored my soul, it's often been walking by real and genuine and literal quiet waters and green pastures. So normal days, provision, restoration, and direction. Maybe you're facing a real decision or you've got a real problem in your lives at the moment. Well, have a look at verse 3. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. This shepherd is such a great shepherd. He knows which route to take you down, even though it may not look like the right route at the time. And you've got to trust him because he's going to guide you in right paths for his name's sake. That's the most wonderful thing. He doesn't do it for our sake, though that would be good in and of itself if he was to take care of us so that it works out well for us, which he does. But he guides me along right paths for his name's sake. It's going to look bad on the shepherd if all the sheep are wandering lost across the countryside. And he's a good shepherd. And for his name's sake, for his glory and for our good, he takes care of us and he directs us. Now, David knew this. He had lots of normal days as a king, and he knew how God was taking care of him. And I suppose Jesus Christ himself knew the Lord as his shepherd. He was guided and led by God the Father, even through dark times, as we're going to come on to now. But David, Jesus, and ourselves, if we're followers of Jesus, know the wonderful care of the shepherd through normal days. And I pray that you will know his care through these days this summer. But life isn't always rosy and sunny. There's often dark and difficult times too, aren't there? And that's where we move from the normal days to the bad days. And all of us have them. Bad seasons, bad chapters in our lives, times when we face difficulty or when we make mistakes, or even the darkest valley of all, when we face death, either in ourselves or in our loved ones. Well, have a listen to verse 4, again in the beautiful King James Version. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, David had some really tough times in his life, some really bad days, and he knew what it was like for the Lord to take care of him and to shepherd him through those dark valleys. Jesus himself went to the darkest valley of all, didn't he? He went to the cross, and of course the Lord shepherded him through that dark valley. And in turn, Jesus, our shepherd, because we know from John 10 that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus himself is going to take care of us, and he will guide us even through the darkest valley. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Lord is with us? sometimes we don't feel that. We can't feel him close, but he's promised, both here and in one of our favourite passages, the Great Commission at the end of Matthew 28 that we've been looking at. He's promised to be with us. And if you've called out to the shepherd to take care of you, a wandering sheep, he's promised that he will be with you, even if you walk through the darkest valley. Now, which would you prefer? An easy life without Jesus, or a difficult life with Jesus? You see, this is the thing. Sometimes when we pray, Lord, take away this difficult thing that I'm facing. Take away this sickness. Take away this hardship that someone in my family is facing. And there's a number of us in the church at the moment who are facing difficulties with our family situations. I know that many of you have grown up children and they're facing difficult times, or elderly parents. And you may even yourself in some way be facing the darkest valley. Well, Jesus doesn't always take us around the difficulty. He takes us through it, and he shows his faithfulness and his presence in those dark times. Just one moment. I do apologize. One of the hazards of recording a talk on your phone is that you might get interrupted. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen again. And let's carry on as we continue to think about the bad days. And here's the wonderful thing about verse 4. You may have noticed that in verses 1 to 3, God is described as he. He's in the third person. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He guides me. But in verse 4, it turns to I and you. It becomes all the more intimate. And that's often our experience, isn't it? That in the darkest times, actually, we feel Jesus near. That intimacy can increase as we know him guide us through tough times. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Those dark valleys can be really hard, and maybe sometimes we can't see the shepherd. By definition, it's dark, we can't see him. But maybe we can feel his rod and his staff, two particular instruments or kind of things that the shepherd would carry. One, the rod was kind of a really solid, almost truncheon that he would use to beat up any marauding enemies. And I find that so comforting, that no enemy is too difficult for Jesus. He has a rod, he has a scepter, he has this club or truncheon which he can use to beat up the enemies of sin and hell and death. And he has a staff as well, a shepherd's staff, maybe like our bishops have these days, with a sort of shepherd's crook with a hook at the end that they could pull the sheep in close if they need to, or give them a little jab to keep them going into the right direction. Maybe just to reassure the sheep that the shepherd is near when he can't be seen. And those are wonderful pictures of how the Lord Jesus Christ guides us and leads us through those darkest times. It's a reminder that a shepherd back in Old Testament times, and in Jesus's day, and in the Middle East today, a shepherd was really a kind of a warrior in some ways. Let me just pause and read you a little bit about it's a little quotation from a guy who met some shepherds 150 years ago in the north part of Israel. So here's a little quote about shepherds in this area of the world guiding their sheep. The shepherds themselves had none of that peaceful and placid aspect which is generally associated with pastoral life and habits. In other words, he's saying that these shepherds didn't look like you might think shepherds might look like. They looked like warriors marching to the battlefield, a long gun slung from the shoulder, a dagger and heavy pistols in the belt, a light battle axe or iron-headed club in the hand. Such were the equipments, and their fierce flashing eyes and scowling countenances showed but too plainly that they were prepared to use their weapons at any moment. And one writer, Dale Ralph Davis, says, as he quotes this, he says, "Let this percolate into your grey matter, get this into your brain. Let us realise that Jesus Christ, our shepherd, is no weakling. Our shepherd is a warrior, as shepherds had to be. No one can snatch his sheep out of his hand, John 10, verse 28. So we have a wonderful shepherd who guides us through normal days, and he guides us through bad days. And he's got a rod and a staff, and he protects us. Those are wonderful things to remember when you face, in whatever sense it might be, something fearful, something evil, a place of uncertainty or unknown. Remember your shepherd who is with you through the darkest valley with his rod and staff to comfort you. Now, sometimes we go through normal days. Sometimes we go through bad days. Sometimes we go through the very darkest valley of all. And with Jesus Christ, the darkest valley of death leads us, of course, out to eternal days. Normal days, bad days, eternal days. And that's where we get to in verses 5 and 6. And the picture language changes a little bit here from the shepherd with his sheep to the host at the banquet looking after the king at the banquet. And you've got king language here again. You anoint my head with oil, because of course David was anointed with oil as the king, and Jesus Christ of course was anointed. He was the Christ, the anointed one, and he became our king. I suppose at his baptism he was declared, and through his resurrection declared to be the King of Kings and the Lord of all. And here we have a picture of the king at the banquet, and Jesus has gone through death and out the other side, and he leads us to this eternal banquet where we can be with him, and we can share in these words of verse 5 and 6 as we look forward to the heavenly banquet of the new heaven and the new earth. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I bet David was looking forward to those two following him, or even chasing him or pursuing him, goodness and love, because often he was dogged by difficulty. And Absalom was chasing him and pursuing him later on in his life. But he looks forward to the day when goodness and love will follow him. In fact, those two dogs, as it were, they dog us and they follow us all the way through our lives, goodness and love. And they help us to get to the banquet with the Lord Jesus in heaven. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even the enemies see the good result that comes upon Jesus and his people. And they, as it were, have to sit and watch as we enjoy the banquet. And as it finishes in verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So a wonderful psalm, and rightly one of the most loved and one of the most famous psalms, a psalm of David, because he went through normal days and bad days and he was led to eternal days. A psalm really about Jesus, who God the Father shepherded him through his life, through normal days. He guided him through the cross and out to eternal days. And as we, as it were, hang on to Jesus's coattails, as we put our trust in him, as we ask as wandering sheep for him to shepherd us and take care of us, well, we can know his presence with us in normal days, very normal days, just trudging along, needing our food, needing our drink, needing our guidance, needing our direction, needing our provision, needing restoration, and even in the hard days, and he will take care of us then. Even in the darkest valley of all, he will take us through the darkness. We just need to trust him, put our hand in his hand, and he'll lead us out to the eternal days and to the most wonderful and wonderful future that we can look forward to. So, a great psalm, and an opportunity now for you to discuss it together, see what I've missed, dig deeper into some of those beautiful pictures. But why don't I close now with a prayer? Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your track record of being the perfect shepherd. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep. And Lord, we want to say afresh that we trust in you. We lean all that we have into you. We ask that you would lead us and guide us through normal days, through bad days, and into eternal days. May we know your sufficiency. May we not be grabbing for more, like that bucket list, because we actually have everything that we need in you. Please, Lord, enable us to know you better. May our only dissatisfaction be with how we want to know you more. And please, Lord, in the coming days and weeks and months and years, would we know more of you, our good shepherd, at work in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.